Hound Dogs. I'm David Hankins.
And I'm Paul Hankins.
And welcome to On the Air with Power Squared, a weekly look behind the scenes, what we hope will be everyone's favorite comic book, Power Squared. We have a guest we've had on her before, but it's Julia Cannon, the colorist of Power Squared. Hi, Julia.
Hello.
How's it going?
I'm pretty good. How about you guys?
That's okay. It's kind of hectic today, but
yeah, same.
Yeah. So you've been with us since February. We realize you've done 4 issues.
Yeah, time really does fly. I've just like realized I'm like, oh shoot, I've been just feels like last month I just started the like issue 13.
Yeah.
And now we're like issue 16.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh.
And then I'm sorry that nothing you've done has really been published yet.
Yeah, oh, you're good. I get the gist of like how public, like not entirely, but I'm like, okay, like there's like a method to it. I'm like, eh, makes sense.
Well, it's just, you know, well, we're trying to figure out all that stuff still, I'm afraid. Yeah. So you've worked on 4 issues, The Imposter Part 1 and 2, and How They Met, and working on Mocha and Raven, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, those are the 4. Part 1. So do you have a favorite issue you've worked on?
Not entirely so far. Like, yeah, I don't really have a favorite so far. I've just been like enjoying like the process of just like coloring it, but also just like watching what happens next. Cuz like after I like read issue like the like issue 12 and like you were giving me the stuff I needed.
Uh-huh.
I'm just like, "Oh, I got to know what happens." So I've just been enjoying the process then.
Well, that's good. At least you want to know what's happened. So
yeah. Like,
oh, what the hell is going on? Who cares? So
that and also that instance of I'm reading and I'm just like, why is like this certain character kind of an idiot? But I'm just gonna go with it.
Who do you think is an idiot? I'm just curious.
Marty. Like not even.
And how is he an idiot?
I have a bias for Mocha, let's just say that.
Okay. So, yeah, he's kind of, well, anyway, things happen.
Yeah.
Trust me.
Like, jokes aside, I'm just like, eh.
Yeah.
It's pretty, like, what's the word? I guess gnarly, like, I've been with you guys since February, I guess also since quarantine, it still feels like March, so it's a weird feeling.
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, you're really close by, and I've never actually met you, so it's kind of weird. You
know? Yeah, it's like you're down the road, but also not, so it's like, huh.
It's kind of weird. Well, so when this is over, we'll have to all get together.
Thank you.
And if we ever do a signing, I want to bring you along, because...
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Well, no, you're bubbly and all that kind of stuff. We're kind of like, so anyway.
Get to know me for like another year and then try saying that again.
Okay.
Oh, no.
All right.
Like, if anyone in chat who knows me, don't say anything, please.
Huh. What should we be worried about?
I don't know. If you ever play Among Us with me, you'll see.
That probably won't happen for me, but
yeah. Every time she's gonna say that.
You have your own Twitch channel, and you color and you play video games, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Is there a favorite video game you've played this year?
Like I wouldn't say favorite. Like I've not like I mostly just go like on and off on like certain games, but the 2 games I've been playing a lot lately mostly with friends is like either Dead by Daylight or Phasmophobia. You guys know that knows those 2?
Yeah, I've heard of those.
Yeah.
He would.
So but yeah, like nowadays whenever I'm playing video games. Oh, sorry, 3rd one. So either Dead by Daylight, Phasmophobia or Among Us.
Yeah.
So like those have been the 3 games I've been playing a lot lately.
Okay. And you playing those? Any other games you played besides on Twitch?
No. But I recently got the game Cave Story, so that looks interesting. Like I know it's like one of the indie games that like helped start out the indie trend. So, Like, I recently got it, so I'm like, huh, this looks like something that'll be fun to stream.
Are you familiar with that at all?
I've heard of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh. I'm not really a gamer, so I kind of... One of my many flaws, but... are we keeping you up?
No, it was just...
I'm kidding. Anything, you have any questions you've ever wanted to ask us about Power Scar? Like,
yeah, like, well, I guess, like, with any, like, series, like, what inspired you guys to make, like, Power Scar, at least, like, the story in particular?
Well, one inspiration was, Jar and I, watched and read a lot of stuff growing up, and we noticed that twins most often were used as, like, gimmick characters or one-offs, so we wanted to bring twins more into the spotlight.
Oh, okay.
And there have been series that have had twin main characters, but more often than not, it's fraternal twins. And, I mean, you do have, like, Zach and Cody, but that's kind of the only identical twin thing I can think of off the top of my head.
Yeah, but they're, like, little pranksters more than anything.
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah.
And the superhero angle, or superpowers angle, was, you know, they're just really into that kind of thing. Same with the Japanese... folklore.
Mm. Yeah, like I noticed a lot, like with especially like with the whole yokai thing. I'm like, someone here is the otaku of the family. Nothing wrong with it. I'm just like, I was like noticing a trend. I'm like, huh. But yeah, like I noticed it, like especially when I first started reading the first issue when you guys started like mentioning like Death Note, One Piece. I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
Like, oh, we're going down this route. Like, nothing bad with it. I just, like, little things I notice.
Right. I think we're trying to, in some ways, tone down overt references to things.
Yeah.
But still have the influence, I guess.
Yeah. It's, like, the thing of, like, have it dated, but not, like, too dated.
Yeah.
I think that's the thing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good if a story is more timeless.
Mm. Like, you're still able to get the reference, like, in terms of, like, oh, they're talking about this show.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, One Piece One Punch Man would definitely kick ass. But, yeah, it's like I've noticed, like, little tidbits, like little things like that before. It was pretty cool. Like,
yeah.
Because, like, especially, like, with, like, indie comics like this, like, yeah, they'll have, like, little snippets of anime nowadays, but, like, I hardly would ever notice it sometimes, so this is the first time I've ever, like, really noticed, like, the references. Like, oh, I know this reference! But, yeah. Yeah, I can't really think of any other questions, like, really on the spot, but, like...
That's fine.
That was one of the few things, like, because I always, like, hearing, like, oh, what inspiration, like, did you guys have, like, to make this comic or stuff like that?
Right.
Yeah. Like, it's pretty interesting hearing, like, the stories of, like, how it came to be and stuff like that.
And then I mostly did a future issue that's more of a one-shot, and with that I wanted to lean a little more into the manga influence, at least in terms of, like, creative panel layouts.
Yeah. Yeah, I've noticed that too, like, because I notice a lot with, like, Marvel and stuff, they always stick it strictly in the panel, so, like,
yeah.
When I notice you guys working together, like, to have, like, some of the characters outward, or just have more, I guess, dynamic into the pages.
Yeah.
Like, that's where I started noticing, like, oh, okay, like, that was something, like, a little different I've been seeing, like, because, like, I don't really read a lot of, like, I guess, more, like, Marvel or stuff, like, here.
Yeah.
For the most part, so, but also, like, I notice, like, little things like that. Like, it's pretty cool.
Yeah. Manga is really good at, like, exaggeration.
Mm-hmm.
like exaggerated expressions or exaggerated poses and
yeah
action.
Yeah, I've noticed, like, I talked with Rachel about this the other day when I was streaming. I'm like, Rachel, like, you have, like, some of the panels you draw have, like, extreme meme potential. Like, I think I took one of them, like, when Kirby's just, like, looking at the twins, like, please help us. And I'm just like, when your mom leaves you in the grocery store in the line and you're next. So, like, I always try to find, like, that one panel that looks like a meme material.
Yeah.
It's like... Like, I think I've had one where, like, I get, it was either Marty or Eli looking at the other one weird, going, like, I can't believe you've done this. Yeah. It's like, oh, why do you do this? Like, why do you put us in these, like, crummy situations? Why? But, yeah, like, I always like trying to find, like, the fun in, like, whenever I color something and I'm looking at the expression, just, like, why does it look like this situation even though clearly it's this situation? Then I just go from there.
You have anything?
Mm-hmm. Listening on.
Alright. I don't know if we've asked you this before, but do you have any influences when it comes to coloring?
Or is it
just your own thing?
It's a little bit of both. Well, for the most part, obviously, a lot of the color influence is from the colorist prior to me, because obviously I have, like, there has to be, like, some sort of
continuity.
What's the word? Yeah. Continuity, thank you. So there's, like, but then the rest is just more of, like, either new scenes that are fair game, or obviously the characters. Yeah. So I guess, like, the main inspiration I'll get is just from, I guess, that is a car. From, like, past, you guys heard that?
Yeah.
From, like, past, from, like, obviously, like, the past colors and the colors they chose for the characters before. And then I just play around with it from there. So I think, like, I mentioned this before, like, with Kirby, his color scheme is a lot of, like, grays and greens, so I would keep it with that, like, more around the gray and green variety. And then, like, with Dawn, he's more, like, orange, so I keep things around, like, orange and brown if I have to. And then it just, like, I go with that with the characters, like, and then obviously, like, with, like, Mocha and any of the other characters, they have, like, a set color ready. And then with Marty and Eli, like, we talked about this before, like, they're more around, like, red and blue, so I always try to keep it consistent with, like, different shades of blue or red or anything around there.
Yeah, so sort of trapped in those colors.
I mean it's fine. It still gives them a bit of, like, singularity, I think is the word. Like, it's still, like, the one thing I've noticed, like, with at least colors in a character, you have to keep it consistent with, like, how they are, so it's not, like, that big of a 180 when they change, because, like, obviously with us, like, it doesn't, like, with people, like, in real life, it doesn't really matter. Like, if you change your color scheme, hey, like, we're human. But I understand, like, with story, like, with comics, like, there's only so much you can do with that, especially with just, like, colors do define the tone of a character and the scene, and, like, you have to keep that in mind more than with, like, what you would see in real life, in a way.
Yeah.
So, like, you have to have, like, that, I've noticed, like, you have to have that middle ground.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, that's, like, something I'm still learning, but I feel like with this comic, it's, like, sharpening more. Like, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. That makes sense.
We're kind of going through that process, too.
Hey!
Is there anything that inspires you creatively?
Like, obviously, like, comic books on my end, and also, like, anime and movies and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, funny enough, as much as I say that, like, a lot of, like, the inspirations I get are, like, from cartoons I used to watch as a kid, and so those would be, like, say, like, Code Lyoko or Avatar The Last Airbender, or one movie I've been recently rewatching is Rise of the Guardians.
Yeah.
but, like, I've been rewatching those a lot just to try to get some inspiration, and there are, like, a few I've been, like, contemplating on watching, but, like, I'm having this weird thing of, like, I know I should start something new, but my brain's telling me, no, just watch the nostalgia.
Sort of comfort food, in a way.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, like, I watched, like, as this is gonna sound really bad, but, like, I've watched, like, Code Lyoko for, like, the 100th time over, so I'm like, oh, no, this is bad.
Well, right now we're watching Tron Uprising for like the third time. So
nice. It's, if it makes you happy.
it's a very interesting looking show, if nothing else.
I mostly just watch Code Lyoko because it's like one of the main things I watched after school.
Yeah.
That is dead. Yeah. But yeah, I think before, like when I used to take screenwriting classes, like when I used to like still be in like college more frequent, and I tried to make the show. It was like a weird combination of Code Lyoko meets I think it's called White Collar.
Yeah.
It's the one where like the FBI, like it's this FBI division where they're part of the division that works with like counterfeit art. I think it's called White Collar.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I tried to make something with a combination of that with Code Lyoko, and it worked, but also it didn't, because like obviously when working on a script, especially in the class, you have a deadline.
Yeah.
So it was fun doing research for that. So it was interesting also, like just trying to like use that inspiration to try to make something of your own without completely like duping other stuff. Like, it's an interesting challenge.
Yeah.
I finished the script, but I don't want to look at it anymore. I don't even know where it is anymore. That's how bad it is.
Like, yeah. This year I applied for a couple of writing programs, and I didn't get into either of them, but it's good to try anyway. And for the Nickelodeon writing program, I needed to come up with an original pilot. And it was, I hadn't done that before, and this was the first time they asked for that, so I felt unprepared, so I just kind of threw one together that was about twins who stream.
It worked.
Yeah. It could have been way better, but for like 3 months or whatever, I think it turned out okay.
Oh, no. I mean, something came out of it, so that's still a good thing.
Yeah, it's good that I finished something like that.
Yeah.
On a deadline.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Finishing something is the first step.
Yeah. That's, like, something I definitely have to work on with me, because, like, I have, like, a bunch of, like, little side projects that I want to work on. But obviously, just, like, motivation and just, like, I guess those parts of the creative process are just, like, should I or shouldn't I? And then, like, I know in reality I probably should. But yeah. Then it's just a caboodle of just anxiety. But yeah. Yeah, like, I feel like, especially, like, trying to start something is, like, one of the hardest things you can do. So, like, I feel like once you get the ball rolling, it just gets a little bit easier every time. Like, not entirely, but it gets you're more aware of the process than when you were before, so that helps.
Yeah.
Like, that actually happened a lot, like, in the beginning, like, when I first started. So, like, if anyone's watching, so when I first started, like, I got, like, a little test. So this is before, like, I got the guide or everything. Like, basically, they're just like, here's a test, have fun. I'm like, okay. So I tried it, and then, like, when I submitted it, I thought it was like, to be honest, I thought it was like garbage. And then when you guys gave me like, said like, oh, you've been selected as the colorist, so I'm just like, holy crud, it actually, like, my process, like, holy crud, it actually worked. and then the moment I did that's when you guys gave me like the guide on how like the colorist did it prior. And then, like, even with the guide, it was just a weird thing of, like, okay, how many layers should I do this? Should I do it in these groups? And it was just, like, a weird process. So, like, I feel like each page or each issue, I end up going through a different process. So what you saw before, like, when I did the coloring before, when I did everything in folders, it's a complete different process now from what I did before, which is, like, I want to say, like, at least 2 times easier than what I did prior.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's just like, it's like a weird process of like, okay, like, looking back on it, I really did a lot of like over convoluted stuff to try to get something right. And then the more I learned and then the more I did things, like, holy crud, I wish I knew this information when I started. But then I also know if I didn't start off with this job, I probably wouldn't be knowing this information anyway. So
yeah.
it's a weird like feeling of, well, if I didn't have this experience, I wouldn't be getting this new knowledge. So
yeah.
So yeah. You didn't think you did well on the test we gave you?
I think, well, like, I have like slight test anxiety, so that was part of it. But also, like, I think it's just like a weird artist thing of we hate everything we do, even though like in reality it's probably pretty good.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
I think I heard Rachel on the podcast prior. We just look at our work and we're just like, ah, I hate it. But in reality, they're just like, no, it's really good. I'm just like, no, 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 you guys are lying. Like, I had that with a friend, like, I just finished a commission with, like, I gave it to him. He's like, thank you, I love it so much. Me, you're lying. You're just saying that to your friend, you're lying. But in reality, it was probably pretty good.
Yeah.
Like, I think with any artist, whether if you're, like, a writer or, like, an illustrator or something, we all have that single pain of, like, I finished this, but I don't know, Chief.
Well, we're all our own biggest critic.
Yeah, pretty much. I think that's why it's also hard for me to post my work, but that's a different scenario. But like, I feel like no matter where you are, it's a process of also just accepting, yeah, your work is also good enough. Like, it's like you said, like we're our own worst critique, so it's like just accept if people like it. If they like it, they like it. If not, most likely they're going to tell you.
Yeah, well, we haven't really criticized much of what you've turned in, I don't think. Yeah.
Like, the only thing you've really said is like just like minor mistakes, like say if I missed a splotch, like I missed a color here, which like it's actually very noticeable. I'm like, okay, that's fair. Yeah, here you go.
Yeah. And yeah, we had the issue with the...
Oh, like with the effect with like the power. Yeah, that one was like, to be honest, that one was like one of the hardest in the beginning because that was before I found out a little trick where you can just literally take out all of the like white on the page, which I wish I had in issue 13. I wish I had that knowledge in issue 13 because I think I showed you what I did before is like I would have to select the white and then erase it and then try to clean it up and then try to make it look pretty. And now all I have to do is just click a button and all the white's gone. And I'm just like, are you kidding me? I wish I had this info when I started. What the heck? But like I said, it's a process of just learning and then messing up and then learning and then hoping to God it's okay. But yeah. But yeah, like this job is like it's helped me a lot, especially with learning Clip Studio, which is the program that I use, and it's basically it's having me go in like further into the program, like what it can actually do instead of just me making things harder for myself.
It's a learning process.
Yeah, as is life.
Yes, sad to say it is. So I know we gave you a bit of homework about the ideal reader thing.
Wait, which one you gave me? I think you gave us two. One was the... What was the website one? And then the other one was the one you just said.
Yeah. Website?
Oh, like something about, like, you're doing, like, a whole... Like, you were changing up your subscription thing, and then...
Yeah,
oh.
We're asking opinions on the landing page.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's already out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, no... If you had an opinion, it's too late now.
But, yeah, well, I thought it looks good, but yeah.
Well, we're just trying to make it a little more, you know, academic and stuff. We're thinking about trying to do one of these OAPSs about talk about the ideal reader for the comic book.
Mm. Oh yeah, with you're gonna be talking with someone.
Well, we're gonna Scammell.
Yeah.
Hennessy. He wrote a book about. Marketing or publishing comic books or something like that, and he offered for an extra fee as part of his Kickstarter, he'll do a one-on-one with you for an hour and talk about your marketing your book.
Oh, so, that's cool.
And key to that is, who's the ideal reader? So we're not expecting you to know that now, but we will maybe have something in January where we get everybody together and talk about it.
Yeah. I always thought, like when reading it, I always thought it was, like, for, like, say, people in high school or people in college. Mostly the college thing, because obviously the kids are in college.
Yeah.
But I always thought it was for, like, the demographic of, like, people in, like, I guess, about to finish high school, but starting college or around that line, because I mostly just read into that because of, like, some of the language on here and also just how the characters act. So
yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah,
either that or I could be looking too much into it. We'll never know.
Well, we just want to kind of get everybody's opinion.
Yeah,
before we make fools of ourselves and
yeah. I mean, you guys can always go like the Ruby route, where like there's not really a demographic, and the demographic just says it for themselves.
Yeah, I don't think we can get away with that.
Yeah. Yeah, which like that's either fortunate or unfortunate, depending on how the scenario goes. But yeah.
So you have big plans for the Christmas holiday?
Probably not. Like, I talked to my dad. We're probably just gonna be staying home, because we stayed home for Thanksgiving, so odds are we're gonna be staying home for Christmas, because with everything going on, so that's about it. Like, odds are dads are probably just gonna order food again, like, Christmas food, and then we'll just stay home.
Yeah. I know, we're staying home.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, though, because I do have a friend down the road, and, like, her and I, we hang out a lot, mostly because, one, she's down the road, and two, she's my grocery buddy, so every time we want to get groceries, we're just like, can I go with you, please? And she's just like, yeah. So I talked to her. So there's, like, two other people we hang out with around the area, so, like, I think the other thing we might do is just, like, do, like, a tiny, like, little, like, hot pot thing at, like, her place or mine, because like I've been to her place a couple times too for like other stuff, so we're just like, yeah, like we've been hanging around since quarantine mostly just for errands, so like me along with another person who's actually in our neighborhood, we're just like, we could probably just do like a small potluck or like a hot pot thingy and like just keep it from there.
Yeah, sounds good.
Yeah
Also, hot pot is always good during the warm weather. Like, if any of you guys at home don't know what a hot pot is, it's like, basically, think of it like Korean barbecue, but with soup. So you're basically cooking all of the meat and stuff.
Hey. Special, special guest.
They say hi. Okay, he's gone. he's like telling me, oh, relatives are here. I'm like, oh, okay, I'll say hi when we're done. But yeah, I just told him I was gonna stream at 6. It's okay. I knew this was gonna happen.
We had the phone ring, so you know, things happen. So.
No, actually, the reason why, because like this isn't the first time that's happened on stream. The worst thing is sometimes for any kids at home, like, sometimes he'll come out of the shower, so he has to grab clothes. I'm just like, Dad, I love you, but why? And sometimes my friends will notice it, because, like, sometimes, because, like, when that happens, obviously, because I know how, like, Twitch, like, terms of service can be, sometimes it can be really dumb. So whenever that happens, I'm just like this. And then, like, lift the lid back on when he's gone. Like, uh-oh, that is... No, I thought I wasn't focusing for a second. But yeah, like it's fine, but also like I panic. I'm just like, crud.
At least he came in clothes this time. That was good.
Yeah, it was funny. It's funnier too. Like sometimes with grandma, she doesn't even knock, which I guess understandable because like she's grandma. So sometimes she'll walk in like, I need help with my phone. I'm like, okay. Which was like happened before the call. Like she came into my room. Like, I need you to help delete these phone numbers. I'm like, okay, we're gonna be here a while. This it's fine. She's old. You can't do much about it. But like, she's grandma. I still love her.
Hey. All right. Well, we'll let you go, because obviously you have family there. You need to talk to.
Yeah, I wasn't aware. I'm very sorry about that.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
So we'll probably touch base again, as I said, in January.
Yeah.
And
just like, yeah, just like if anything, just like say what day and well, like I'll clear it up.
We'll figure all that out before then, obviously. We'll be like, where are you?
I'm gonna be like, okay, I'm going to be like 100% honest. I almost forgot I said yes to this. So the moment you said, are you still cool for the podcast? I'm like, I look at the clock, 10 minutes to 6. Oh, crud. And then I'm just like, I run to grandma's room. Hi, I'm going to be in a call for like 2 seconds. Just don't.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, okay, just close my door. I'm like, okay.
We had a guest that totally forgot one time. That was fun.
Yeah. At least, like, I was glad, like, you messaged me at least, like, 10 minutes before, because, like, it doesn't get too hard to get ready for, like, calls like this, but also, like, oh, no.
We don't want to be too much of a nag and bug you all the time, but, you know.
Yeah, I'm glad you messaged me, like, because part of me remembered, but also, like, with grandma coming in earlier to help me with her phone call, I'm just like, oh, no. Okay, well, I'm still early. This is fine. Yeah. We're dealing with Philippine time right now. The inside joke to that one is Filipinos are always late. So I'm just like, oh, no, I don't want to do that right now.
All right.
But yeah.
We'll let you go. We'll talk again in January. Hope you have a Merry Christmas or Happy New Year and all that.
Yeah, same to you guys.
All right.
Don't die.
we'll try not to.
Also thank you for having me. I do enjoy these podcasts.
And we enjoy having you on. That's when we want to have you on before the end of the year. And
of course.
Yeah, and we look forward to having you back.
Yeah.
All right. So before we hang up, if you're watching this on YouTube, leave a like if you like this. Subscribe if you want to see more, and ring that bell if you want to see exactly when these go up.
All right, so until next time, I'm David Hankins.
I'm Paul Hankins.
And this has been On the Air with Power Squared.